Legacies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friend Ed Short isn't with us this week, so I'm here in the studio by myself. I'm actually in my home studio this week because it's just more convenient for me to do this from home. So if my mic sounds a little different, it's because I'm using one of the old mics that we used to use when we first started this program years ago, but it still works, and I hope it sounds okay. It just probably sounds a little different. We're glad you're with us here this evening. It's June 16th, 2024, and we're here every Sunday evening on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. So what we're going to be doing this evening is we're going to be listening to a sermon that I gave just a few weeks ago. But before we get started, I always like to say thank you to Ray Powers. He puts us on the air. He makes sure that we are able to broadcast this program each week, and it's such a blessing to be able to do that. So thank you, Ray, for that and all of the work that you do behind the scenes there at New Visions Radio. But just to give you a little information about Prophecies of Hope, we're an independent ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, and we meet every Sabbath or Saturday morning, the biblical Sabbath, at 9:30 a.m. for Sabbath school, and then we have a worship service on Sabbath mornings at 11 a.m. Again, that's on Saturday, the biblical seventh-day Sabbath. Now, you can find us at www.prophecyhope.com. And there's a streaming link, so you can stream the Sabbath school, and you can stream the worship service. Also, we have a midweek Bible study that is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Now, we do not stream that. We Zoom that meeting, and if you would like that Zoom link, you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. Or if you'd like to send Ed a message, you can email him at ed@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can email us at office@prophecyhope.com, and we'll make sure that you get that Zoom link. Also, if you'd like to participate in the Bible study or the Sabbath school and Bible study on Sabbath morning, we Zoom that as well. And that way you can read Scripture with us, you can ask questions, you can comment. So if you want that link, just send us a message and we'll make sure you get it. Also, we just want to remind you that coming up in September of 2024, we are going to be having a Bible prophecy series. And we do that each and every year. We've done that every year, and we began in 2012 with that. And we will continue to do that, hopefully, until Jesus comes back or until we die, whichever comes first. So we just hope that you will be able to tune in with us there. We will be streaming that live as well. And that will be the week of, I believe it's September the 15th. I don't have my calendar open at the moment, but I think it'll be on the Monday, September 16th, I think, is when we're going to be starting that series. All of the times that I give you are Eastern Time USA, just so you know. So that's a little bit about this ministry. If you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, we're at 1743 West Beverly Street. We would love for you to pay us a visit. We would love for you to come by. We'll have a fellowship meal. Let us know you're coming, and we'll be glad to just spend the whole day with you and just have a really nice time. We sing some beautiful songs together, and we just have a nice meal and nice fellowship time. So before we begin this sermon, let's have an opening word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to take some time and just open your word, the Bible, and just learn more about you and your son, Jesus. Father, please open our minds and hearts to the things that we'll be discussing, and we just ask for your spirit to be with us as we open your word now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, this sermon is entitled Equipping the Saints. And I'm just going to start the sermon, and when the sermon is finished, we'll come back for a few concluding comments and a closing prayer, and I hope you enjoy this. Again, it's Equipping the Saints. Today is May the 11th, 2024. I don't usually start by saying the date, but when I was typing up the bulletin for this week and I put the date in, I realized that this is a very significant day in my life.
Now, just 2 days ago, my wife and I had our 37th wedding anniversary. And what a blessing that is. Not many people can say that these days. A lot of marriages just don't last that long. But May the 11th is a very significant day to me because it was 28 years ago on this very day, it was actually a Sabbath, that my wife and I were both baptized. We were baptized. Now, granted, I was, at that time, we were baptized into a church, into a denomination. I mean, that's usually the way baptisms take place. Most people, when they're baptized into a denomination, into a church, or whatever setting they're involved in. In this ministry, we do it according to the biblical way. We baptize into the name of Jesus Christ. As all of the baptisms that were done, that were recorded in the Bible, after Jesus said, go baptizing them, all of the baptisms were done in the name of Jesus. So this day to me, at the time that I did what I did and I got baptized, my wife and I together, that day that I was baptized, I believed and knew in my heart at that moment that I was doing what God wanted me to do. I was doing what I wanted to do. I wanted to give my life to Him and make a public declaration. 28 years ago this day, I did that. Now, if I back up 6 months before that, 6 months before that was when I realized there was a major change in my life. Something had happened in my family life that caused me to back up and start to re-examine what I had been taught all of my life about God, about Jesus, about life in general. Now, most of you who know me understand that, you know, I grew up in a specific setting, a specific denomination. I left that when I was 18. And then in my late 20s, when this issue happened in 1995, it caused me to take another look and say, I need to get my act together. I need to get my walk with God right. And that happens for us at different times in life. Some people, it might happen much younger than, I was 29 at the time. For others, it might happen late in life. For the thief on the cross, it happened at the end of his life. He realized the very day that he was going to die that I need something better than this. So he said, Lord, remember me. So what do we do when we have that moment? Well, one of the things that occurred to me when I realized I had to get my life right was there had to be some major changes in my life. There were some things that I was involved in that had to change. I had to come to grips with, I need to be changed, and I didn't necessarily know how to do it. So what do I do at that moment? Well, you pray. You pray. And I will tell you that at that moment, I realized that I was exciting about the things that I knew about the Bible because I had been trained with a Christian mind. I always believed there was a God. I always believed in Jesus. I tried to live a moral life as best I could according to the things that I knew. But I wasn't vocal with it. I didn't necessarily. I was afraid to tell people the things that I was learning. And I'll never forget, I was with somebody one time, and I watched him actually take, I think I mentioned this not too long ago in a sermon, I watched him take someone who objected to the message and said, don't you ever come back here, because we were involved in door-to-door ministry. And this lady says, don't you ever come back to my house again. And he took that conversation and he turned it around to where before we left, she was inviting us back to her house. Now, this was during this period of time, this 6 months from the time that something had happened in my family to the day that I was baptized. Within this six-month range of time, that was when all of these things started to occur. I became more active in reading my Bible. I started wanted to tell others what I knew, but I was scared. I was afraid. And I said to that man, he's a brother in Christ, I said to him, you know, I want to be able to do what you did. You took that woman that was ready to throw us off the porch. I thought she was going to call the police on us. And you turned it around to where now she's inviting us in her home and saying we can come back anytime we want. I want that ability. And he says, well, you can have it. And I felt like saying, what, are you just going to give it to me now? I'll take it. I'll take some of that. But he said, you need to pray about it. And you need to study the Word of God so that you can do these things. Make it a matter of prayer. And I did. I did that very day. And my whole life changed that very day. And a lot of people say, no, it's impossible. Well, you know, all things are possible with God. It wasn't anything I did. So I wanted to be able to proclaim the gospel, and I wanted to be able to do it as well as he did, as tactfully, as lovingly, to be able to turn people's minds from, get away from me, I don't want to hear what you have to say, to, I want more of that. I want more of this. That was exciting to me. Is that exciting to you? Maybe it scares you. Most of the people that are here in this sanctuary right now have an active ministry, and they're actively proclaiming the gospel. But there are people who might watch this sermon, might see it online, or might be streaming now, that are saying, I'd like to be able to do it, but I'm afraid to do it. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. I want to share this text with you. Revelation chapter 14. And this is really exciting when you read this. Revelation chapter 14, and I'm just going to start here in verse 6. It says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So in here we have an exciting message, a warning message, and a message of salvation. It's all right here. This everlasting gospel has to be preached. It has to be preached not just here, not just to my neighbor across the road, not just here in the community of Stanton, Virginia, not just in your neighborhood, but throughout the world, the whole world. How do we do that? We're just a few people here. How do we do it? We need to be equipped. We need to know how to do it. We need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to understand the importance of proclaiming the gospel so that we can be in God's kingdom, so that we can have a part of and have the patience that it says in verse 12, keeping the commandments of God and having the faith of Jesus. There are so many people that aren't doing these things. They might be going to church. They might think they're saved. But are they? Are they? How can I do this? What if the opportunity hasn't presented itself for you to be able to preach to someone? And you say, you know, I want to be able to do it. I want that ability. I want to know how to do this. What do we do? How do we handle that? Well, let's just take a look here on the PowerPoint. I have Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Brother Rick read this from the King James. It words it a little differently. I'll show you where that is. Here in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here in verse 12, it says in the New King James, for the equipping of the saints. Brother Rick read, for the perfecting of the saints. I looked that word up the other night because as I was studying this, I was looking in the King James. And then when I read it in the New King James, I said, this reads differently. And the word is equipping. That's the proper translation. It means preparing us. Well, guess what? Part of that equipping is part of making us perfect, isn't it? So really, they go hand in hand. If I'm going to be equipped with the gospel of Christ, doesn't that perfect me? I can't perfect myself. But it says, let's look at that again. And we're going to read through this whole passage here. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, we might read these verses, and we might look back here. If I back up again, we might look at these verses here in verses 11 and 12 and say, well, hold on a minute. How can I do this? I'm not a prophet or an apostle. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. We might read that and think, how can I possibly do this? If I'm not any one of these things that this says, how can I do it? Well, let's look at these words. This first word, apostle. When you look this up, I looked it up in the Greek. The word apostle literally means an ambassador of the gospel. An ambassador of, you know, we think of an apostle, we always look back and think of Paul and John and Peter. We think of these men. And we say, I'm not like that. Well, why not? What prevents you from being like those men? What is it that keeps you from doing that? So this word also, apostle, it means a commissioner of Christ, a messenger, one who is sent. That's what an apostle is. That's the definition. One who is sent, a commissioner of Christ. I want to be a commissioner of Christ. I want to do that. Isn't that what I was saying to that man when we left that door? And I said to him, that brother, and I said, I want to be able to do that. I want to do what you just did. The next one is, it says, some to be apostles, some prophets. Well, the word prophet, you know I'm not a prophet. Not according to the way we look at it in the Bible. It says here, a prophet, it can be a foreteller, not a fortune teller, a foreteller, a message given by God. There's a difference. It can be an inspired speaker. Have you ever been talking to somebody and God inspired you to say something that you never thought of before? That's a prophetic message. God gave that to you. That doesn't make you an official prophet, but he's using you. He can use you the same way. It means to show or to make known one's thoughts. That is to speak or to say something that God may have given you. Wow, pretty amazing. I've had many conversations, and I've even said that. I've done that in the middle of a sermon. I've been giving a sermon. I've said, I've never thought of this before, but it just occurred to me, and I've said it. Where did that come from? It didn't come from me. God had to give that to me. That happens to you. Pay attention to those things when they happen. Pay attention to it. The next one was evangelist. An evangelist, a preacher of the gospel, one who declares glad tidings. Now, a lot of times you think of glad tidings, it's only good news. Well, sometimes along with those glad tidings, you have to preach the things that need to be preached. And they might not always be glad to those of us who are doing the things that are not so good. So an evangelist's job is to say what has to be said, to preach the gospel, to preach it no matter what, even within opposition. The next one was pastor. And most of us, when we think of a pastor, we think of a paid man that stands up and preaches to a church or the leader of a church. It doesn't say that. You know the word for pastor? It's one word, shepherd. Shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd. Someone who shepherds the sheep, looks after them. He doesn't necessarily teach, according to the definition. He should be able to, of course. And then, of course, the last one that we looked at there were teachers. A teacher is an instructor. Someone who instructs. We all have had teachers over the years. If we went to school, whether public or private, we all had teachers. Our parents taught us. They had to fill the role of a teacher. You teach your children. You are a teacher. Well, if you can teach your child, couldn't you teach a child of Christ? You see? When we simplify these things, we look at this text. Let's look at it again. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he himself gave some. It doesn't say you have to do all of these things. It doesn't say you need to be every one of these. It says he gave some to be apostles, so they would have that gift. Maybe one or two people in your midst might have that gift. Some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You can have a part in this very thing. God has equipped you with what you need. What do you need? You need the Word of God. And you need to know how to use it. And you need to know how to open it. And you need to pray about these things. If you want that ability, pray about it. You might be terrified. It's a terrifying thing the first time that you go out. If you've never gone out in ministry, and I mean, I'm not just talking about just doing ministry informally, just at work or at home or, you know, school, wherever you might be. But when you are going out and you say, well, here's a neighborhood, I'm going to go knock on that door. The heart might start pounding a little bit. It might start pounding because you think, what am I going to say? You know what you say? All you have to do is you can just open up God's word and say, you know what? You knock on the door, the person comes to the door, you say, I'm just here just to share one Bible verse with you. I'd like to just share one verse. Would you allow me to read one Bible verse? 9 times out of 10 in this area, somebody's going to say, sure, absolutely. You're not going to, at least where we are here in Virginia, in this part of Virginia, most people will say, even if they're not a believer, they'll say, yeah, go ahead and read it. That might be how they say it. I've had people say it to me that way. So just open up your Bible. Pick something that you want to share, something that might be important to you, your personal ministry. This is your testimony. And pick it and go to that text. And one of the places that I love to share with people, because there's so much here and it can open the door for so many conversations, is a verse that they've already heard thousands of times, and they've seen it thousands of times, and that's John 3:16. Whether they're a Christian or not, I guarantee you most people in this area have heard it. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read the verse and just ask him, have you ever given any consideration to this? See where it goes. It might just open up a door and you have a conversation like you've never had before. And you get to share other things. You make a friend. You may go back. You talk with them some more. You open the Bible. You learn together. You're going to learn something from them, whether they've ever read the Bible or not, guaranteed. They will teach you something, whether it's how to overcome an objection or how to reason with them from God's Word. The key is don't force it. Don't force it. You need to know what you believe from the Bible, first of all. If you go to someone and you're teaching them and you don't know what you believe, you can get so twisted up so fast. And don't fake it. If you don't know, just say, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Don't be afraid to say that. You know how many times I've had to say that? There's a lot more that I don't know than what I know. I don't know. And you know, so don't just know what you believe, but pray about it and don't force it. I know people, I know a brother in Christ, I love him to death, and he lives here in this community, and he has wanted to have a ministry for years, and he has pushed and pushed and pushed, and let it come to you. Let it come to you. Don't push. You know, Jesus didn't say, I stand at the door and push on it. He knocks. He wants you to invite him in. So when you have somebody, you might not have the gift of evangelism. It might not be for you to stand up in front of people and be able to talk. That's all right. Believe it or not, your ministry can be more effective than a ministry from behind this lectern. A personal ministry can be much more effective than any preacher, any pastor, any apostle, any teacher, because you know that person one-on-one, and it gives you credibility because they know you. Maybe they've seen the changes that have occurred in your life, and they say, you're not the same guy you were before. You're different. I always like to say, well, how do you mean different? And some of the things, well, your character, your personality is different. You're not as abrasive, or you're not using filthy language anymore. Or maybe I haven't seen you, I never smoked, but they might say, I haven't seen you pick up a cigarette the whole time you were here. Well, I quit smoking. He's, whatever it is. Well, how did you quit? I've been trying to quit. Well, there you go. He just opened the door for you to witness. Just like that. I mean, see how? And you say, well, Mark, you stand up there and you make it sound so easy. It's never easy at first. But I'm going to tell you, I was terrified when we knocked on that door and that lady started chewing us out. I was ready to run. I was ready, okay, I'm out of here. And he says, just hold on just a minute. Can I ask you why? I'll respect your wishes, but I'd like to know why. It was amazing because once he asked her, her only answer was, because you people are always here knocking every week. It seems like you're here every week. He says, well, you know, if somebody's here every week, I need to take care of that. I want to apologize for that. He disarmed her, just like that. And he said, would it be better if maybe we just came by once or twice a year? Would that be all right? He's meeting her need. She didn't want to be bothered so much. She felt like she was being overwhelmed. And so he was kind, he was gentle, but he was bold with the message. And he says, you know, while I'm here, can I share a text with you? He didn't just walk away and leave it at that. He pursued it. He did it in a way that was, it was masterful. His name, I'll never forget, his name is Chuck Waller. Chuck Waller. And he had a huge impact in my life. I will never forget that brother as long as I live, because he was the one who took me and actually kind of caused me to be able to do what I'm doing now, just by his encouragement. Pray about it. Well, that never occurred to me. Well, why not? It never occurred to me to pray about it. So we can speak boldly. You know, we're studying the book of Acts right now in Sabbath school. And it's amazing to see the boldness of these men and to see how they spoke. Read the book of Acts. I'm going to encourage you to do that. Read the book of Acts and see the boldness that was had and the fact that even in the face of being stoned to death, they never ceased to preach the gospel. And here I was, my first time out. I'm ready to run the other direction. And he just stood there and said, well, can I ask you why? It's beautiful. We never know what the simplest witness can accomplish. We never know. we don't have any idea of what the simplest things can do. Again, you have to know what you believe. I hear people all of the time that'll say, they'll ask me, well, do you think it's okay for me to go to this church or that church? Well, first of all, it's none of my business. You have to go where you think God is moving you to go. I remember years ago when we did an evangelistic series, there was a pastor that says, you need to tell these people to come to this particular church. And I said, I will never do that. I will not do that. And it caused a lot of controversy because I said, I'm not going to point people to a church. If they ask me where I go, I will be glad to tell them. But I'm not going to tell them they have to go there. They have to go where they feel God is directing them to go. Maybe there's ministry that needs to be accomplished there. But determine in your mind, are they preaching the truth? Are they teaching the truth about who the Son of God is? Remember what we read. Look, I want you to look at it again. This is Ephesians 4. I know we're reading this often. 4, 11, and 12. On the PowerPoint, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. It is work, let me tell you. For the edifying of the body of Christ, this is important, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I know many of you find this hard to believe, but most Christians do not have a knowledge of the Son of God. They believe he's someone that he is not. Most Christians do not believe this. They'll tell you they do. But if you start uncovering or peeling the layers back from that onion, say, well, how is Jesus the Son of God? How is he this? What makes Jesus the Son of God? Is it really true? Can you tell me from the Bible? Can you show me what you believe? Know what you believe, because if you don't, you're going to go somewhere and it's going to cause more confusion. You have to study. You have to know what you believe. You might be intimidated about speaking boldly. You might be intimidated about giving a small witness. Either way, step out of that comfort zone a little bit. Maybe there's somebody you wanted to witness to but hesitated. You know, for a long time, there was a fellow, I know I've shared this with you here locally in the past, but there was a fellow that I had known for many, many years, and he had seen me change from the guy that I used to be when I used to run up and down Greenville Avenue 30, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, wow. How old does that make me sound? And I knew him all of these years, and then I kept telling Tanya, my wife, I kept saying, I would love to be able to witness to him, but the timing has to be right. Don't force it. Remember, I said, don't force it. That's something that I had to learn. And I said, I just need the right time. Well, sometimes the timing is there, and I'm not paying attention, and that's what happened. I was at work one day, and he comes by, and he says, hey, what are you doing for lunch? I said, well, I usually don't take a lunch. I just work right through it. He says, well, are you really busy today? I said, I've got a lot going on, but I'm not as busy as I've been, you know, as I could be. He says, why don't we take a half hour and go to lunch? I said, well, I really don't have time. Hello? I'm not as busy as I have been or could be, but I didn't have time to go to lunch. He was persistent, though. He asked me two more times, hey, come on. Stop what you're doing. Let's just go to lunch. Let's just go somewhere. So we went to the little, I had, my shop was in Stanton at that time. I had the Exxon station downtown. And so we went to the Chinese restaurant, the Great Wall. And we sat in there and we were sitting. And I thought, man, you know, I've been looking for the opportunity to witness to this guy. And here I am. I'm right in front of him, one-on-one, no distractions. So he starts telling me about this. He says, man, he says, the most interesting phenomenon is happening right now. And this is what he showed me. He had a picture of it. I'm going to put it up here. He had this picture, and I gave credit to the website there. This is, you know what this is? This was back in 1996, I think it was, or 97. This was the Hale-Bopp comet. And it was discovered July 23rd of 1995. And this fellow, Alan Hale and Thomas Bopp, they were the ones that kind of discovered it. And they said that it would be visible to the naked eye on Earth at this particular time. And it was visible for about 18 months. So my friend, this fellow that I knew, he had went, there's a local observatory. Did you know that? And near, where is that? It's not near Swope, there's another, Sangersville. Isn't that what it's called, Sangersville? It's a local observatory. And he went and got some photographs of this thing. And he brought them and he showed them to me. And he says, can you believe this? They knew precisely when it was going to show up, when we were going to be able to see it. And he was so excited about it. And I let him talk about it a little bit. He educated me on this thing. And I had heard about it because it was in the news. And I'm thinking, okay, all right. I think I've got it. You know, so the wheels are turning while he's talking. And when he paused after he had shared some things, I said, well, let me ask you a question. You were talking about how precise this is. Here's another picture of it. Here's another picture of it. I said, you can see that's with a camera. There's a tree there. I said, you were telling me how precise this is, that they knew to them pretty much to the day when it was going to be visible. Do you think that that just happened? Or do you think that there's a creator? I really wanted to know what he thought. And he sat there and he paused. And he says, well, I'd have to say that it just happened. And when he said that, my heart sunk. And I said, why would you say that? And his answer was, well, when I look around this world and I see all of the people that are suffering and death and children dying, and it seems like the rich people are doing evil things and the poor people would like to have nice things, he said, how can there be a God? That was a very good question. And I said to him, you know, I said, that's a very good question. And I would like to be able to answer that question. But it's going to take more than just this setting. I said, but I will share this with you. So I shared a couple of thoughts with him. I asked him about the human body. I said, you know, did you realize that the eye makes 16 billion calculations per second? Just one eyeball? And he says, I knew it was a lot, but I didn't know it was that much. I said, do you think that the eye just evolved? Or do you think that someone created it? I said, and at that time, the phones were much more bulky than they are now. It was a big old flip phone. I flipped it open. I said, look at this phone. I said, I can dial pretty much anywhere I want to, and I can talk to somebody. They weren't smartphones then, so I couldn't get on the internet. I said, if I told you that this thing just popped up out of the ground and that it wasn't made or designed by someone intelligent, you would laugh at me. He said, yeah, I would. I said, so how can you look at how we're made, how the body is made, and say that it just happened? And he said, I've never really thought about that. I said, well, if you'd give me about 15 minutes here and there, whenever it's convenient for you, I'd like to show you. I said, I'd like to show you a few things in the Bible that might help you. Well, it turned into a Bible study. I will tell you, I still keep in touch with this fellow. I've invited him many times to Bible series that I've done, and I can't get him to come. But I will tell you this. He does believe in God, and he believes in God's Son, Jesus. And he believes that he is truly the Son of God. The seed is planted. It's not for me to go out there and try to force it to grow, because I can't do anything. I can plant the seed. Someone else can water it. I've been trying to water it, but he won't let me. He keeps running me out of the yard. That's okay. But God will make it grow. You know, we're still friends. And he calls me from time to time, and we'll talk about these things. But he kind of keeps me at a distance. I don't know why. I think I know part of the reason why. Sometimes in life, and I would say this, if he were here, I'd say it. I think that sometimes in life, God's word, when we read it, holds us accountable. And sometimes we're at a point of our life where I don't want to be held accountable. I don't want to have to do that. So if I keep my distance, now I don't have to comply. And maybe that's where he is. So I'm not going to give his name here, but I'm going to ask everybody to pray for him. Because this is a seed that I planted, I guess it's been 30 years ago. Well, 27 years ago. 27 years ago. So we might think that it's impossible. We might think that, how can I reach that person? I can't do this. I can't witness. I had asked, and I had actually prayed that I would one day be able to witness to this guy because he has a brilliant mind. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. Just depends on what they want to think about. But I had prayed that I would be able to preach to him. And he came to me and invited me to lunch. Now, I don't think that was by chance. I really don't. I really don't. And we might think, well, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not any of these things. But you can still do the work. All of us, every one of us here can find one of those areas, at least one, where we might excel. At least one. We're not called to be all of those at once. And, you know, I think back to when I first, that day in May the 11th, 1996, when my wife and I were baptized, I knew that day in my mind, okay, when I say I knew, I was convinced that I had the truth. I was convinced of it. And then 1 month later, on June the 10th, 1996, when this man comes into my shop and he simply asks a question, he has no idea of what started that moment. He had no idea of what he started when he asked me the simple question, does your church teach you to keep all the commandments of God? You know what the problem was? Remember what I said, you have to know what you believe. You have to know what you believe. And most of us will take on the faith of our church and say, well, my church teaches this, so that's what I believe. And he says to me, does your church teach you to keep all of the commandments of God? First words out of my mouth, well, of course. Of course they do. Here, let me show you. I was so convinced, and I opened up to Exodus chapter 20, and I started reading the commandments, and boy, did the rug get yanked out from under me. Because I realized that my church did not teach to keep all of the commandments. They were negating the one that most do. And that's remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But that started me on the journey of my lifetime, a journey which I'm still on to this day, learning what the Word of God actually says and accepting it and believing it and reading it and living it. And if I see that there's an adjustment that needs to be made, it's not always easy. But through the power that God gives me by the Spirit of His Son dwelling in my heart, I can make that change. Not on my own. So you might think, you know, for many years, that man, he knows now where I stand. We still disagree on the identity of Jesus. He and I, the brother that asked me about the commandments, does your church teach you to keep all of the commandments? We keep in touch. He still struggles with the identity of Jesus. But he planted a seed. And it wanted to grow faster than it could. Does that make sense? I wanted everything now. I wanted to know everything right at this moment. And it takes time. You know, when you plant that seed, you don't get an ear of corn after the next day after you plant the corn in the ground. It takes time, and you have to give it the time. Sometimes you have to pull the weeds from around it. You have to keep watering it. It has to get sunlight. And you have to be patient. So when you plant the seed with people, you can speak boldly. You can speak boldly, but give it time to grow. Give it time to sink in. And keep going back to the Word of God rather than to, well, this is what I think. You know, I think this or this or this. I knew at that moment that what I was taught to think, my church was trying to teach me something contrary to what the Bible said. I thought I knew what my church taught at that time, and I didn't. Of course, if somebody says, does your church teach you to keep the commandments of God, you're going to say, yes. That was my thinking. Well, naturally, we keep the commandments of God. Well, no, we don't. Not everyone, not every church. At least I didn't at that time. Not to worship a false god. That's one of the commandments, not to worship other gods. So, you know, there are many lost people, even in Christian churches. Just because you belong to a church, you're sitting in a pew, just because you're here, just because you're tuned in, this hopefully will help you to keep studying. But this really doesn't, this has nothing to do with your personal relationship with God and His Son. That's a personal thing. We're here to encourage one another. That's why we come here. That's why we come together. So keep in mind, we might think I'm not an apostle or a prophet or a pastor or a teacher. I'm not a minister. But God can use you, no matter how small or how large your presence is. God can use you in His work. And He is using you. I know everybody that I see here, God has used powerfully to do work, to get the gospel out there, if we allow Him to do it. You know, for me, and I think for most here, we can't keep quiet. I remember when I first met Brother Ed, he was just so quiet, and he was subdued. And the first time that we went to knock on a door, he was scared. And now he teaches the best Sabbath school, one of the best Bible studies I've ever been involved in. And he has a ministry of his own where he teaches people. You can do the same. I want to encourage you to do that, to have a personal ministry, have a project, have something that will make goals in your life to, you know what, I'm going to make it a goal to speak to somebody this week, just to maybe share a Bible verse with them. Write a Bible text down on a piece of paper and just hand it to somebody and say, hey, look this up in your Bible. Do you have a Bible? Can I get you one? I'll bring a Bible to you. Make sure people have Bibles. Make sure they get them. You know, we need to seek the lost. We need to find these people. We need to seek those who think they're not lost and point them back to God's Word, not to a denomination, not to a church. I want you to open to Matthew chapter 24 with me. Jesus' words here, Matthew chapter 24. And this is a beautiful text. Remember, we said that the everlasting gospel we read just a little while ago at the outset of the sermon, the everlasting gospel has to be preached to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And then here in Matthew chapter 24, I think that's what I said, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. He doesn't say might be or should be. He said it will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The work has to be done for Jesus to come. He can't come if people haven't heard about it. He can't come if people don't know about it. They have to be given the opportunity to hear it. How are they going to hear it unless somebody says it? How are they going to know it unless you take it to them? In the age that we live in now, friends, with YouTube and Vimeo and Twitter and all these Facebook and I don't know. I'm not on Twitter or Facebook. Is Twitter still a thing? Is it? I don't know. It is. Okay. I don't know. For some reason, I thought it was going bye-bye. But with all of these different avenues of preaching the gospel, take advantage of it. You know, nearly every week, I get a text from Brother Roy with a Bible verse and a little thing that says, keep looking up. And I love that. That's encouraging. And it always makes me take a look. I stop and I pause and I ponder what it is that he's saying and the verse that he's sharing. He's not giving me his thoughts. He's sending me a Bible verse. Maybe you can do that. Send someone that you know or love, text them a Bible verse. You can start out that way. You might say, well, that's a little bold. That's okay. If they don't like it, they'll tell you. And if they want you to stop, you can stop. If they want to run you off the porch, leave. Knock the dust off your feet and go to the next one. Right? So, equipping the saints. This is what God's Word is doing. This is what this ministry is all about. Trying to equip people to be able to go out and share the gospel with others so that Jesus can come. Do you want him to come? I do. The question is, do you want him to come now? Right? Well, you might start taking stock of your life and say, I'm not so sure. I have a few things I need to get straightened out. Don't delay, friends. Don't delay. Get it straight now. Equipping the saints. He not only gives us the gospel, but he teaches us how we can live the gospel. That's what we've been talking about for years in this ministry. How we can live the gospel. How you can have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we can overcome those things to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. And if people see the life that we're living and the lifestyle that we have, which is a much better life than I had before I knew Christ, it will motivate them to want to know the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. People will be motivated. They'll either make a decision, I want to know God and his son, or you know what? I'm happy where I am. I don't want anything to do with that. They will make a decision. They'll make a choice. And that's what has to happen for Jesus to come. People need to make a choice. So let's help them. Let's put them on the road to life. The road to making the right choice. Choose life. Choose God's word. That's what God said in Deuteronomy. I give you the blessing and the malediction, or the blessing and the curse. Choose life. Take the blessing. Take the blessing. We have been equipped with something that many people don't have. And maybe they have it, but they don't realize what's in here. Open it up and don't just read it. Study it. Study it. Comb through it. Look at the things that you have in common. One last thing I want to say. When you're trying to preach to somebody, when you're trying to reach them, you want to get the gospel to them. One of the best ways I have found to be able to do that, find something that you have in common with them and share that. One of my lead-ins when I would walk up, if I was walking up and somebody was working in their yard, that's the hardest ones to talk to. They might be working in their yard and you're walking up their sidewalk or their driveway and here they are in the flower bed. I used to love to talk about their flowers because I love flowers and I love working in the yard. And I might share with them, you know, I have flowers. If it's not true, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, there was a number of times that I would have those very flowers in my yard and I'd comment on them. And it just opens up the conversation. You start talking about that. One thing leads to another. You might be off topic for 3, 4, 5 minutes or more. And then what I say is, you know, as much as I love these flowers and I could talk about them all day, that's not why I came. I came because I wanted to share a Bible verse with you. Would you mind if I share something with you? By that time, they're not going to say no. I never, and I can say never, absolute, never had a door slammed in my face. I almost did that day with that guy, with Chuck Waller, almost. And I have never had somebody say, no, I don't want you to read a Bible verse. That never happened to me in all of the doors that I've knocked on over the years. Now I've had people say to me, you know, I'm really not interested. And that's okay. They didn't slam the door on me. You respect that. And I might even say, well, can I ask you, why is it that you're not interested? And listen to them. And when they tell you, you might just have to accept the answer and say, well, I can respect that. And say, I hope you have a good day and walk away. Don't be offended by that. Don't be offended by it. So I want to encourage you to have your own ministry. Speak to people. Pray about it. Interact with them. You might make a new friend. I've made a number of new friends by knocking on their door. David Wright is one of them. And he's been to this study a few times. And, you know, I've made a number of friends just by knocking on their door, wanting to share the gospel with them. We have been equipped. God has equipped his saints to do this work. So let's get it done. Let's get out there and talk to people and share the gospel with them. But remember that they're going to be watching you closely. The best sermon that you can preach is the conduct that you have, how we treat people, how we interact with them, how we interact with them. And that's an area where sometimes I've had to work on because I tend to be a very pointed person at certain points. But I always try to be kind, even though I'm very pointed. I might say something that's offensive, but I do it with a smile. That can make a difference, believe it or not. So just be ready for people to object. Be ready for people to turn you away. This will happen. They might not agree with you. That's quite all right. Plant the seed. Plant the seed. And if you can, water it. If you can't, God will make sure somebody else waters it. And I promise you that if you plant the seed and it's planted in good soil, God will make it grow.
Well, there you have it, friends. That sermon was entitled Equipping the Saints, and I hope you found that encouraging. I hope it lifts you up. And, you know, next week, Ed and I hope to be back here in the studio together, at the Prophecies of Hope studio. As I mentioned, I'm here in my home doing this from the home studio. That's why the mic sounds a little different. But, you know, it's always good to be here each and every week. And this is all the time that we have for this evening. And so let's go ahead and have a closing word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you have given us what we need to be able to share with others the gospel and to be able to show them the plan of salvation, that they too may have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent, your Son. Father, we ask that you will be with us until we come together again next week. We're grateful for this technology you've given us. Father, we're grateful for every gift you give us, and particularly the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for all of these things, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, I hope you will tune in again next week, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.